Christian greetings this morning. The precious and worthy name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's an honor, privilege to be here this morning and to worship the Lord with you. And I do enjoy our minister rotation and having others coming and sharing. To me, that's just a blessing. But I guess to me this morning, it's the cost of going out. And I know my turn was already back in February, and I apologize for letting it go so long. But so I count it a privilege to be here this morning and worship. I feel we've already had a very worshipful experience this morning, devotional in the Sunday school. And the essence of if we do the will of God, it's marvelous. We walk through a door when we do the will of God and are obedient, it opens the door to just a room full of blessings. But we must go through that door. We must be willing to go through that door so that God can bless us. I do desire your prayers this morning and the preaching of the word. When I looked at the assignment on the minister rotation, it said message of your choice. And so it was up to me this morning. And sometimes that's easier, sometimes it's not. And so I've been seeking God as to what he would have me share. And I was thinking of a certain message that I thought would be interesting to study and meditate on, but I don't know, this past week it seemed like it shifted gears, and I don't know why. I don't know why. I'm satisfied, but the other evening I was thinking of this, and I was meditating on it. Recently I preached a message in another congregation about loyalty in church life, and this thing kept coming back to me about loyalty in marriage. And I thought, well, Mount Perry, I'm sure they have solid marriages. They don't need marriages messages. And I think. But the other night I went to bed and I said, Lord, I want you to show me what I should preach to this Mount Perry congregation. The next morning when I got awake, it was one of the first thoughts that came to me, loyalty in marriage. So here we go this morning. And it's not because I know something or that I'm pointing at something or anything, but it's a message that I've preached quite a number of times. I love to preach about this message or in this message, and so I do desire your prayers this morning. It's a stretch in a sense, especially as I was meditating and studying, I kind of stretched into a few areas, so I do desire your prayers. One of the burdens of my heart this morning is that I think we're living in an era, 2026, both in the world and in the church, and in Anabaptist settings, where sometimes I get this feeling like this marriage relationship thing is almost complicated. And there's so much focus on, and I've done it already myself. My wife and I have spent time with married couples or with situations that have been difficult. And I've done it myself already, where you'd sit down with a couple and you'd ask the brother, so what did, you know, what's involved here? You'd ask the sister or the wife, what's involved here? And they would explain something that kind of drew them apart. And then I would ask a question to the other partner, well, how did that make you feel? Isn't that kind of the psychology of our day? How does that make you feel? And what did that do to you? Or what lights went on in your life? Or what? How did that? And I've discovered already that when you start down that path, there is almost, I don't know, you just grapple. And you think the answers ought to be simple. And this morning, I thought of something that I wished Here recently, I don't know, was it in the PCBE or was it in Our Health, but there was an article in there about this couple. They were both in their 100. They both were over 100 years old, this couple, and they were married, I think, 80-some years or 80 years. And so someone came up and asked them, and I wish I'd have it because it was put together nicer that I can share it here, but ask them, so what made it that you could live together for 80 years and you're still smiling at each other and you're still, what made this possible? And I was intrigued with the answer. Both the man and the woman said, well, it really wasn't that hard. We just loved each other. And they were in their 80s or married for 80 years, and he says it really wasn't that hard. And I really believe that sometimes some of the things that we face have become complicated, and we overcomplicate things, and it's hard to get our feet in the ground because of all that's out there. You can go to podcasts, and you can listen to Protestant messages, and you can get so many books and so many. And I'm not against some of that, but I do think sometimes we need to have that guard up that some of these things are only complicating what God has really made simple. And so that's a little bit the perspective that I like to come at. And some of the things are very basic, and you've heard them over and over. And I have no apologies necessarily. I guess I did almost make an apology already. But really, there's no apologies in getting back to the simple Word of God. This morning, there's probably some here that maybe are not married, or maybe the Lord is. Maybe you have that desire, and maybe there's widows, or maybe there's separations. And I'd like to just assure you that God knows your longings and your desires. But I want to assure you as well that God has provided a medium whereby all needs can be met. Not only that all needs can be met, but if we walk through that door of following after God, there's boundless blessings. This verse here in Psalm 19 that Brother Andrew read, there's a verse that jumped out to me here. It says, moreover is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is what?
Great reward.
Great reward. And I believe that's true. And that's what I'd like to point us to or lead us this morning, is that good marriages, solid marriages, cannot be bought with money. There's not enough of money. There's a situation that my wife and I have been involved in here some time ago, and if we could just buy, or if there'd be enough of money to restore that relationship, I don't know what I'd do, but if money would buy it, but it won't. Money won't buy it. But God has given us a gift and a door we can walk through that we can experience things that money can't buy. The beautiful thing of that solid marriage relationship. There are many unfaithful marriages, many struggling marriages, but there's also many beautiful marriages. Several years ago, we had a neighbor, Troy and Dottie, had a horse farm there next to us. And one day I was talking with Troy, and I said something to him about, it seems like you and Dottie get along pretty good. Yeah, he said, we do. We get along good. He says, someone came to me here recently and said, how is it that you and Dottie get along all right? I mean, they really weren't even religious. I tried to talk to Troy, and he was okay about, you know, Christianity and so on, but he really didn't have a profession. And he said, someone came and said, you know, how you and Dottie get along? I said, they both worked on the farm, and they were together. And he said, well, Dottie and I have made an agreement quite a long time ago already. He says, sometimes out in the barn when we're doing horses and stuff, he says, we can get pretty upset and we can argue. And we can just get pretty uptight with each other. But we made an agreement quite a number of years ago that inside, when we open the door to go inside our house, why, we don't argue. We don't, inside the house, we can argue outside the house and we can do what we can, but inside the house, it's when we close the door, we don't argue. He said, that's a commitment that we've made, and it works. I thought that was interesting. I do believe that loyalty in marriage is, God has established that I believe in order for marriage to work, there needs to be a commitment. There needs to be a level of loyalty. And I believe God even blesses that outside of Christian marriages. I believe God blesses that level of loyalty. And the principles that are laid out here in God's word, I think they even apply to those outside of marriage. Some time ago, I was in a doctor's office, and I picked up, I think it was a Time magazine that was laying there, and it gave principles, and this was completely from a secular standpoint, but principles for a happy marriage. And I could have almost copied those down one after the other. Giving room for each other and being nice to each other. And I think it wasn't in that article, but it was another article that I read that the divorce rate is, I don't know, over 50% in the U.S. from marriages. And they said that marriages, couples that spend 10 minutes together a day and just talking together, just sharing together, oh, stay together. I thought that's interesting. 10 minutes of just talking together. Couples that spend at least 20 minutes to 30 minutes together, why, there's a cohesion there that works. So I believe that is very important. Well, let's get to the Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Notice here that the Lord is the institution of marriage. There's something that has happened that was apart from all of creation. There is nothing like it in the creation. We can look in the animal kingdom and we can see parallels, but this thing that happened for mankind, that which bears the image of God, something happened that was apart from all of creation. Verse 18 of Genesis chapter 2, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help fit or a help meet for him. Notice here, we said that God instituted marriage, and God looked on humanity. And God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, there was a connection there that was completely apart from every other part of his creation. But he said that he created man, and when Adam went to name all the animals, he said that there wasn't anyone for him. Well, God knew that. It's not good that the man should be alone. He says, I'm going to make him an help fit or a help meet for him. And so it's rightly said that marriage is an institution of God. He says, I'm going to make what is fit for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. And says, and Adam gave names to the cattle and the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. For Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And in the institution of marriage, the Bible says that he put man into a deep sleep. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and he brought her unto the man. And so, and whenever he did this operation and he made the woman, right in the same passage, right within the sphere of this thing, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So the institution of marriage is that God established this beautiful thing that really Adam and Eve, they were one because Eve was taken out of man and they became that one flesh. They became that one. Well, today, I believe that institution is just as clear. Mankind is not complete in itself. And when I say that, I don't want to be critical of Apostle Paul or anyone that is single. I don't think. But there's something that is, man is not complete in himself. And I believe that just as real as it when God brought Eve and he brought her to Adam, and Adam said, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman. That when God gives that to us, that he is saying that this is what is going to make your life complete. This is what's going to make your life full, just as full as it did for Eve to Adam. It made it just as full. And the Bible says that we should love our wives as our own flesh. Well, why not? If it becomes that oneness, then we ought to. We ought to love our wives as our own flesh. There was none of the animal kingdom on the female world that God did an extra creation. The Bible says he made the woman. An extra creation like he did. And that creation was so designed by our Heavenly Father. Then it says that they shall leave father and mother, and they too shall be one flesh. And this is already the institution that God has established way from the beginning. Then in chapter 3, right the next chapter, we have the fall of man. And in this fall, we have, I believe, what it did. The fall of man is what really is a core issue in disloyalty, isn't it? It's the fall of man. It's the core issue for disloyalty. Just notice some of the things that happened right here in Genesis chapter 3. In verse 1 it says, yea hath God said. Yea hath God said. And I believe this morning that is still one of the things that is a core issue for disloyalty in marriage, is that somehow, because of the fall of man, we somehow think that our situation is different. We somehow think that there's things that have to be worked out. We take away from simply the simplicity of God's word. The simplicity of God's word. When the Bible says that he talks to the man, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Now, why would a man be bitter against his wife? Well, I could be here and try to explain some of the things that I think happen. Is one of the things, we probably don't understand each other. maybe as it is, but if we would just label that we get these feelings sometimes, or we get these things that she's not doing her part, or that she ought to be doing something different, or she doesn't understand, if we would simply get back that feeling in me is part of the fall of man. And it's part of that fallen nature that is within us. I believe that. And maybe I don't know if I can make myself clear enough this morning. But the simplicity, and I face it when I label that as the fall of man, it makes me get back to the basis where God said that this is a beautiful thing. And if we label it, it brings us back. Notice some more things that happen at the fall of man here. It says, and the woman said to the serpent. I believe that one of the areas when the creation happened, it says, and they shall be one flesh. But it never changed that the man and the woman individually have choices. I'm trying to think of the title of a book that I read or I had used already some, but in that book, it emphasizes very strongly that if the husband does what he's supposed to do, why, the woman can't help but love him. Is that true? Is that true? Well, I'd like to say that that'll go a long, long way. But that is some of the psychology of our day. Yes, I believe that if a woman feels supported and a woman feels protected and that she can't almost help. But then, I don't know, did you read Debbie Pearl's book? The Help Meet, I think, is the title. And in that book, it says that when a woman submits to her husband, the husband just can't help but doing. Well, in the fall of man, both the man and the woman have choices. Here we have the woman failing. Later we have the man failing. And it was a cause of that downward spiral. And I believe as one of the loyalties in marriage is that if you want to have a beautiful loyalty in marriage, is that it is the individual choices of each one. Not so long ago, my wife and I sat down with a lady that, or a sister that her husband had failed her, morally had failed her. We understood that was a terrible failure. And she said, I just need help. I just can't get a hold of trust. I just can't get a hold of trust. Well, we could study in that psychology and finally I feel myself on slippery places because I hardly know. But if you get back to God's word, then what? Then what? In the garden, when God came to Adam, and Adam said, "Where are you? Where are you? And what have you done?" What did he do? First of all, he blamed Eve, didn't he? He blamed Eve. Blame is a downward spiral for loyalty in marriage. Blaming each other. But it's from the pit. It's from fallen humanity. Eve, when he came to Eve, well, what did you do? Oh, it was a serpent. We try to explain things. And we try to say what happened. And really, sometimes it comes from just... I'm intrigued by sometimes the little things. And we would ask this lady, well, what makes you that you don't trust him? Well, it was because of something he said. Well, I said, do you really think that's what he meant? Well, I don't know. Maybe not. But, you know, it's that thing. It's from the fallen nature of man. I know I'm not going to get over my message this morning, but the part I'd like to emphasize this morning, loyalty in marriage, is just a recognition of those things that happen. In verse 15 of chapter 3, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman." This is talking about Satan. But enmity is that fight between right and wrong. And it is still that way in marriage. It's that fight between right and wrong. And Satan is out to destroy. Satan wants to destroy solid marriages. And he's aiming to destroy solid marriages. But I thank God when we do that, just like was read this morning, and even in our Sunday school lesson, there was a verse there that just stood out to me, that when we are obedient, simply obey this, it's really not that complicated. We simply obey it, and then we walk through that door, and God opens a storehouse of blessing. It says here, between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And then we had that because of the fall of man, and because of the fall of the woman, says that childbirth is going to be, there's some very profound things that happen in childbirth. It can be so painful, and yet her desire shall be to her husband. For the man, it's going to be weeds, and it's going to be sorrow, and the sweat of the face, and that's all part of that. Sometimes we think of marriage as that it's going to be a happily ever after. We get married, and the day that we get married, and finally got the queen of my life, and it's going to be a happily ever after. Is that what happened at the garden? Or is that what happened after man? No. What did happen? What did happen? It's the sweat of the face. It's weeds. It's just whatever isn't taken care of returns to the wild, right? Whatever isn't, and it's one of the principles of creation. Whatever is not nourished, whatever is not, the weeds are pulled out, and it's work, it's labor, it's toil. Are you saying that marriage is labor and toil and work and weeds? I would like to say it was part of the curse of man. But when we do that, we enter into a beauty of God. That's how it is when you do your farming, isn't it? When you take care of the weeds, your crop is so much better. That's how it is in marriage as well. Yes, beautiful marriages take diligence, perseverance, and that's part of the loyalty of marriage. I've said already. I picked this up, and I'm just going to read it here. It says, "The closeness and oneness of marriage." I'm going to read this while I'm here, but I have something else I wanted to read too. It says, "Just a look." This is talking about the humanity of that can happen in marriage. And just a look can be a powerful warmth. Isn't that true? As married couples, we can just look at each other, and it's just, we don't have to say anything. Well, 1 Peter talks about that it's not even, we don't have to speak a word, but just a look. I can be at a church service and something takes place or something, and And I can look at my wife and we both have a smile. But you know, in the devil has degenerated this thing, that sometimes that look can be very painful, very painful. A word spoken can be so cohesive in marriage. But Satan will also take a word spoken, and it can be so dividing. It can hurt so deeply. Just a touch can make you feel so close. But when those things start working against you, just that touch can just be another avenue of making you feel further apart. I'd just like for you to label that this is part of the fall of man. And if we can label it as that, and then we can walk into being obedient to God's word, recognize that it's a carnal man that's within us that destroys loyalty in marriage. But it is when we adhere back to the salvation that God has established that we can experience those blessings. Intimate lovers, when joined together in God's plan, in spirit, soul, and body, it is beautiful. But intimate lovers, driven by the fall of man, can be a battlefield, and indeed is. Marriage is a covenant relationship. It's not a contract or an agreement. A contract protects our interests. A covenant protects the object. A contract is what I just get out of it. A covenant is a relationship. It's what I put into it. A contract is what I must do. A covenant is a privilege. A contract is an agreement. A covenant is a commitment. I'd like to just think of a couple points here in relation to loyalty in marriage. One is, whenever there's loyalty, there's choices that we make. These choices, I think, are very important, and that this is something that is daily in our lives. It's choices that we make. I've preached already I've preached actually a lot of marriage messages already at weddings. And one of the things I usually encourage a couple to do, and that is when the Bible says, "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath," or "Let not the sun go down upon your wrath," keep that thing daily. But also, when it says here in Mark chapter 10, verse 9, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man put asunder." A fixed conviction in our heart that this is for as long as we both shall live. And it's a fixed conviction in our heart that we're here to process it. We're here to work through it. A fixed conviction in our heart that the humanity that is within us, when it's turned over to God, can end up being a beautiful blessing. Beautiful blessing. Some of the things that we've had to work through in our marriage that probably Satan put in there and our humanity that's within us was there to put us apart. Yet, as we blended our hearts together, some of those difficult or some of those things have been landmarks in our life that have brought us together. Brought us together. That's really what God intended. It's that conviction in our hearts. We have that single eye. I've counseled with young couples already before they were married, and I said, you know, before this, you were allowed to look at someone else, or you know, you were allowed to consider others, but at this point, you've come to the place to where it is a single eye. And it's Every marriage partner needs to tell himself, the spouse I have is the one God gave me. Her strengths are good for me. Her weaknesses are designed for me, and I will treasure her. I will stay with my spouse for life. I will not accept any other spouse physically, emotionally, or in my imagination. And if she needs to be changed, I let that up to the Creator. I accept my spouse as she is, or as he is. I accept that. And you know, one of the beauties there in Ephesians is that there is change that takes place in marriage. We do perfect each other, and we do that. But I think the more that we accept each other, the more beauty that God can work and making that change. Another point in the loyalty of marriage, number two, the heart of loyalty builds around God's plan. Leaving father and mother. And I know this happens, it happens for us. But if your children get married and they live right next to you, I think there needs to be some pretty deliberate effort that you're going to let that couple be them. And it's their marriage, it's their home. They leave father and mother. I believe that's important. It is their home. Here recently, one of my boys, they was trying to make a decision. And his wife said to my wife and I, he said, I wish you would just tell us what to do. And I had some feelings about what they should do. But I said, no, I will not do it. I want you and your wife, I want you to pray and seek the face of God. And it says, we're out to support what your decision was. Well, their decision was not exactly what I would have liked to see. But I believe that's important. It is their choice. The closer we get to each other, a threefold cord is not easily broken. Be the leader. Be the supporter, the submissive one. This is part of God's plan for loyalty in marriage. And it is so beautiful. Submission is, sometimes we think is a negative word, but in the scriptures it is not a negative word. Submission, Jesus said about himself, he says, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father which is in heaven. And his submission to that, even in the garden, was the birth of salvation. And I've watched this over and over in Christian homes. I know of a situation, and we were involved with it already, where, I don't know, the husband, I would probably say he's just pretty coarse, and sometimes I even think he's a little dense. But his wife was so submissive to him. And sometimes when we sat together with him and the man tried to explain it, I looked over at the wife, and she sat there kind of with her head down a little bit, and she didn't say much. But she was just submissive to him. They have a beautiful family. I believe submission is a birth to redemption. And I think we often miss that. I believe it's true in church life. I believe it's true in the Christian home. And that it was true for Christ. Not only that, I think us as husbands, submitting ourselves to God's calling is also the birth to redemption. I believe it's very important that we understand that. It's not my own way. It's to do the will of the Father and to understand that. To understand the carnal nature within us and to walk that way. I believe the heart of loyalty is communicative, number three. I believe that, and I could turn to Peter here again. 1 Peter chapter 3, I think it is, but just the beauty of communication. And when a husband and wife get to know each other, it becomes a very predictable. There's things sometimes that maybe it's financial decisions, and this has been years ago. One time we were farming, and I wanted a combine. I wanted a 4400 John Deere combine. And that's an ancient combine by now. But that thing was pretty ancient back then. And I wanted it. And we've made a commitment young in our marriage that I do not spend much money unless we talk about it. I did buy something at a sale a time or so. I didn't talk about it. But anyway. But mostly we talked about this thing. And so I wanted this 4400 John Deere combine. And I talked to my wife about it. And she said, "What do you want a combine for?" Well, I tell you, it just feels good to sit in that cab. I do have a combine now, but anyway, it just so feels so good to sit in that combine. I mean, it feels like you got the world in control, just taking that. And he said, "Wouldn't it be much better if you would just let someone come and do your combining, rather than have all that?" And I knew it was right. I knew it was okay, but I really wanted a John Deere 4400 John Deere combine. I believe it's communicative, and I never did get a John Deere 4400 John Deere combine, and I'm glad I didn't. Well, I've learned that, and I think for cohesion in marriage and for loyalty in marriage, communication, yes, about material things, communication's about our feelings. Yes, I think we need to choose our words. It needs to be done carefully. But finally, I've learned to know my wife that I can almost predict what she's going to say. Life becomes predictable as you learn to know each other. And that's good. I think that's good. Life becomes predictable. Heirs together of the grace of life. It becomes communicative. Fourth point in loyalty in marriage is loyalty is not being afraid of each other. You turn to Peter. It says that maybe I have to turn to that quickly. I got to bring this thing to a close. But in Peter, it's an interesting portion of Scripture. It says that, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also..." In verse 2, "while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear." And then later it says, in this same chapter, "even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement." So in this chapter, one part it instructs us to be afraid, and the other part it tells us to not be afraid. So what's the difference? What's the difference? Well, in the first one, it says that there should be a fear of God. And I believe that is one of the aspects that feed solid, loyal relationships. If I know that my wife's highest interest is to understand God's will, and there's a fear of God within her heart, when she understands that my longings, above all my desires, my longings are to fear God. My longings are to respect this book. The thing is, we know that we're human beings. But when our pipeline is hooked up to that eternal resource, it builds a solid relationship. It builds confidence. You've seen that triangle probably many times, but the closer that if God is here and a man, wife, and the closer that they get to God, the closer they get to each other. And I believe that's still a very foundational principle. I think loyalty in marriage is that we're not afraid of each other. Just like it says here, and are not afraid with any amazement. I think it's important. Communicative, I think, is very important that we understand that. But we're not afraid of commitments to each other. We're not afraid to expose our struggles. We're not afraid to expose finances. We're just together. We're just not, there's nothing. When fear gets between a husband and wife that I'm afraid of, that we get afraid of each other, I think number one, we need to recognize the humanity that's within us and the fallen man. We need to crucify that. But I think that's an essence of where we need to be working with each other. Kindle the love relationship. Fear in marriage destroys trust. I'd like to close with a verse in Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon chapter 8, verse 6. Set me as a seal upon thine heart, and as a seal upon thine arm. It says, for love is strong as death. Strong as death. That sounds like loyalty to me, doesn't it? It does to me. For love is strong as death. It's recognizing that carnal nature that's within us. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Recognize that. The coals of fire thereof are coals of fire, which hath the most vehement flame. Many waters cannot quench love, and neither can the floods drown it. For if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, he would utterly be contemned. Let's kneel for prayer.